Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful that you chose to be with me on this March 11th, 2018 day as we take a look at desire and what it might be all about. I get questions on this from time to time, and it's really interesting to hear what people have to say about desire, and especially one of our listeners here who quizzes me about desire. If you are listening, obviously, to this radio program, you are listening to it via the graciousness and the generosity of my sponsors who make these radio programs, TV programs possible. And I hope you're watching the series on Cahil Gibran that I've done on The Prophet. It's on the website at aspire.org, and you can go and see it there. It's very special. Anyway, nonetheless, less than none. Your donations make all this possible to serve humankind, and it does serve humankind. And I hope that you will consider being a sponsor to help us sustain our radio program. It's very, very important. Many people listen to it. It sometimes causes them grief, and other times it causes them great joy. Who knows? But whatever it is, it's more than entertainment. It's about compassion, love, and the bigger picture. And I hope that you will be a part of this experience in your karma, in your life. Go to the website at aspire.org. And there you will see in the middle of the page, support. It's one of the options you have. If you click on it, a drop-down menu will come down. And there's a page there that says, why support Aspire? And you will read what your donations go, why it is important. And you can sign up and become a sponsor right from there and start getting your goodies, which is the message of the month that you will receive each and every month, as well as my podcast, video cast, commentaries, and 221 or 22 discourses I did for all the radio program, or all the TV programs, I should say, as well as the Cahil Gibran series that I did on living the life. They're all in there too, and that's all for you as a sponsor. It's there to serve you and to thank you for your kind support. Desire, an ardent need or want, according to the dictionary. Desire is a very big deal. It's what our life is all about. So we think that we're in a country where desires can be made manifest. Everybody is really interested in their desires and how they can get them to manifest in their outer life. This is the only real reason I think people have for living, is to fulfill their desires. And people will die trying to have this in their life, fulfill their desires. And it builds up this idea of pseudo-patriotism that people have. Well, we're the land of the free, home of the brave, and we can do whatever we want. No, you can't. You idiot, you can't do anything you want. And anything you do costs money. It isn't free. So let's look at desire. The first one comes from John. He does not tell me where he lives. He said, Buddha says desire is the source of all of our pain in this world. Really? How can this be? So many wonderful things have been made and have been done through desire. How can we not desire, John? John, whatever we have done in our technology, whatever we have achieved in our society in this way, in this desirous way, usually it has something to do with our survival. And the state of our survival often affects the state of our ecology and our relationships with each other. So there has been a lot of things that has happened. You look at something and you see a void in the world or in a person's life, and you see how to fill it, and then you go out and make something that fills it and call it macaroni, and you make oodles and oodles of money. And that's the way most of us think about it, in our, including me, pedestrian mentalities that we all have. You say, Buddha says, desire is the source of all pain. It is true. He did say that, and it is very true. Because typically, my desires will turn into obsessions and compulsions. And pretty soon, desire is all that matters to a person. Desire, desire. What they want, how to get it, what they want, how to get it, what they want, how to get it. You understand. And it becomes obsessive compulsive to such a degree that that's the only thing that matters in a human being's life. And when that occurs, we miss the meaning, the significance of why we are here on earth. And truly, most people don't care why they are here on earth. They don't get it. They don't want to bother with it. They don't want to think about it. They just blank out the idea that one day there's going to be a price to pay for all of this stuff that we've done, and it's going to kill us, what we're doing, and we don't want to look at it, we don't want to think about it, and we don't want to go for it. So with all of that said and done, with all of that in the mix here, we have a great deal of difficulty with our lives because we are trying to do self-preservation and survival with our life through our DNA to sustain our survival, and hence we think of desire as being very, very important. You think it's a lot of hooey, huh, John? Take a look around you, all the things that are going on in this world. Everything that you see, the quote good and the quote not so good, are all born out of a certain desire. So you have to ask yourself, what are these desires? What are we talking about here? How much of this desire stuff should we be incorporating in our life, all of that? And you got to look at it. I mean, do I have a desire to do this radio program? Just me sitting here in my little studio, am I desirous of making a radio program for you? It's interesting. And what do I expect for this radio program? What do you expect for anything you do in your life that's difficult or arduous or important to you? How far should it go? You ask me, how do we not desire? I'm going to explain something to you. It may or may not fall on fertile ground here, but I'll give you an example, okay, or try to help you with it. We are run by our DNA. We are not run by the essence of our spiritual heart. We are not run by consciousness. We are run by DNA. DNA is that human urge inside of all of us that wants to survive. And it has a lineage in it that has been created through our genetic heritage that interprets our DNA and is a part of the whole scheme of our DNA. But I separate it out so students can understand it better. In your DNA is the fight or flight. In your DNA is a ruthlessness that wants to survive at all costs. And any threat it may see towards its own validity, its own survival, it will either try to eliminate, avoid, or kill. That's just the DNA. This urgency, this obsession, this compulsion is extremely important. It does not allow us to mature and grow spiritually. It has no spiritual function at all, except it is about the human body and the avoidance of pain, suffering, and eventual death. And there is nothing we can do about the eventual death. Now, the pain and the suffering is optional, okay? And nowadays, I work at hospice, I know this well, you can drug up a person to the point where when they die, they're in another world anyway. So it's a very interesting process. We don't die as like we used to maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago. We just don't. We die differently now. So with all of this going on and me being heavily connected, if I don't meditate, if I am not aware of my inner being, me being heavily connected to all of this through emotionality puts me in a place and in a situation where deep sorrow and pain and suffering can occur. I cannot reiterate enough how the DNA in me propagates fear and hate and anger. And it does it through the body. So when my body starts feeling very tense, or my body starts feeling very uncomfortable, or my body starts feeling danger or fear, it is going to react appropriately and probably violently, extreme. It will go to the extreme, and it will push for the sake of the extreme in order to survive. And my mind will start propagating stories from my emotionality, making me think this story could be true, or that story could be true, or this story is the truth, or this idea is better than that idea, and then we have to do this, and we start getting paranoid and psychotic, and this goes on and on and on. Now, you ask me, how can we not desire? If you can see the facts of what I've just given you, and if you really care about removing yourself from the whole situation of hate, fear, and death, you will start a journey that is absolutely incredible. This journey is the journey to your being, to your eternity, to immortality, as it is often called in the East. And you will start to drop this persona, this personality, this egotism, this hubris of the DNA guiding, motivating, and fulfilling itself through the body. In other words, as you start to examine your emotionality and you start to realize how your emotionality is working, in that same moment, you will start to diminish desire, ambition, pride, and all the things that go along with it. You will. And it is a very, very simple process, believe it or not, but you have to be diligent and you have to be willing to work on it and work on it and work on it no matter what. You have to be able to work on it. If you do, if you are willing to pay the price for all of that, then, dear John, you will overcome your desires. You will see them for what they are. And you can drop your ideas and ideals, your beliefs, and you can see what will happen in all of that. It's a very, very difficult thing to do for a lot of people. Most people can't do it. They live their life for and around the whole idea of desire, and they miss what life is all about. And I feel sad for them. I do. I honestly do. It's what this radio program is about, and Inspire. It's an alternative. If I can do it, Gregory Edward Penn can do it. Anybody can do it. And I mean anybody. There you are. John, I hope you understand. Please forgive me. Namaste. I took a lot of time there, but I wanted that to be our basis. Next one comes from Jewel. She does not tell me where she lives. Is not desire planted in our hearts by God? No, Jewel. Desire is not planted in our hearts by God. And people like to think, oh, I know God because everything that is wonderful comes from God, and desire may be one of them. That is not true. And then all the bad things come from the devil. Well, who created this mess? Was it God or the devil? Who created humankind? Who created all this according to what you believe in? There can only be one creator, and that is supposed to be this omnipresent, God that we have, omniscient God we have. So you really can't do that. What is planted in our human heart is desire, ambition, pride, vanity, and greed, ego, vengeance. All sorts of things come out of it. No, God does not plant desire in our hearts or in our life and say, go for it. Now, there is that thing of intuition. And intuition can awaken certain aspects of our divinity that lives within us, that is the presence of love within us, the presence of goodness, what you would call the presence of God. And it can awaken us to insights and I would say qualities of life that would make living here on earth very beautiful. Art comes from that. All art comes from divinity. All art comes from the state of oneness we have with that which is everything. You call it God. So once you understand that nothing is being planted in your heart by a supernatural being, but that there is this presence of great love that lives within you, and it is accessible at any time within your life. At any time in your life, you can access it. And when you do access it, it will start to come to life in you. That which you might call your heart, your human heart, can't understand anything but survival. But your authentic heart, your divine heart, as it were, can realize everything that is important and possible. And if you follow that, just follow it and let the pieces fall together as they will, if it's divine love that you're following, you will find you have very little to do with that which is wonderful, and it is actually working itself into your own life. It is a magnificent thing that happens when we do that. Magnificent. I can't even begin to tell you how beautiful this is, because it's happened to me in my writing, in my discourses, in my TV programs, even in these radio programs. I have no script. It falls together as it falls together. And that is the process of the great beauty of following intuitiveness. That intuitiveness is connected to love, ultimate love, unconditional love. And once that is understood inside of you, there is nothing you can't do, because you don't do it. It does it for you. The it, what is it? It's love. Just pure, unadulterated love. And it changes everything about the way we live our life. It changes everything about how we live our life. It changes everything that is going to be meaningful in the course of our life. Nothing is more important than the state of love within you. Nothing. And I have found this for myself, and I share this with you freely. Certain little insights will come, and you will feel them, or they will come to bear some resemblance to something in your life that maybe you believe you need to do. And it might be very important for you to do that. So what to do? If you follow that without hesitation, without ambition, pride, vanity, just explore what it is that you're feeling on the inside, you will find that something is created. Something beautiful is being created, and it's creating itself through your own life. And the more you can stay out of it, like through ego and pride, through aggression, through pouring your DNA into there and your genetic heritage, the more you can remove yourself from all of that, the deeper will be your experience in life and the more profound your living will be. You will figure it out. I have, and it's an amazing thing. It's a beautiful thing, and it's something that all of us can cherish in our life. It's all about love. Trust me, it's all about love. I hope that helps you. Jewel, bless your heart. Thank you for listening, and please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question comes from Kathy in San Diego. Is seeking the way desire? If so, Buddha's talking out of both sides of his mouth, Kathy. I know what you're thinking, Kathy. If you don't have the desire for the earth and, we'll say the world, and you have no desire for it like you may have, and then you start thinking you have desire to go and study the way, to accentuate the way, then that's a desire. There's a vast difference, Kathy, between desire and feeling the pull. Many people come to my retreats and such, and they do not have the pull. They have desire. Their desire is to be knowledgeable. Their desire is to gain the fruits of a spiritual practice through knowledge, but not really changing themselves, just altering a few behaviors here and there. That's it. Nothing really powerful. Just a few behaviors here and there, and we'll call it macaroni. But that's not the way. You have to feel the deep pull inside, a pull that your mind, your body, your ego, your genetics, your DNA cannot understand. It is the pull to nothingness. It is the pull to love. It is a huge pull, but if you do it, if you follow this pull with all of your heart, your soul, your strength, if you hunger and thirst for this, then it is the pull that is driving you into love. It is not human desire for the sake of the glory of a better life, physical life, where you're interested only in money and power and prestige. It has nothing to do with any of those things. It has to do, the pull, that is, to awaken, to transcend. That's what we're doing at Mount Madonna right now as you're listening to all of this. We're working on transcendence. You only have two choices. You can either fall into what is going on in this world and live via this world and how this world exists, or you can transcend this world. And if you choose to transcend it, that will mean that you will have to let go of desire, ambition, and pride, and vanity. You will have to immerse yourself in the practice of love, of compassion, of kindness. You will have to cultivate it. And the ruthlessness that we once lived by that makes us think we're righteous, or that we seek righteousness of men and this earthly form, will have to go. This requires meditation. This requires a deep, deep separation from our emotionality, which is always geared towards survival. It is the engine that makes us survive. When you are no longer as interested in your survival as you once were, when you are no longer seeking means to survive, but you are seeking the way of the heart, that is when everything changes. And will you starve to death? Will you die on the street? No, you will not. The interesting thing about it is you will be taken care of. Even me, this fool that you hear talking right now, has been well taken care of, and you will be too. Trust me. Thank you, Kathy, for your beautiful question. I'm out of here. Have a wonderful day. I'll be back on the air next week. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.